I'm going to start a series right after the 10th of this month. We're going to start a little series called Whales and Worms. I was going to start it this week, but I don't want it to be broke up by next week's service because we're not going to be preaching. So, Lord, you know, who knows? I don't think I'll be preaching next Sunday. You never know. I hear pages turn. That's one of the sweetest sounds in a church that there is. It's people looking in the Word of God. Y'all glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? We've been a lot of places, but we chose to be here. I feel, man, the Lord, I've got about 37 messages. That's a rough estimate. I've got about 37 messages I could preach this morning that I want to preach, but I'm going to preach the one the Lord really put on our heart. I thought about it. I said, man, Lord, I could just break it up, just do 37 really quick shots out of every one of them. I said, you'd lose them after about 22. Y'all, have y'all found Luke chapter 11 and Matthew chapter 6? I was going to use Luke chapter 11, but I seen the heavier context in Matthew 6. But I'm going to use one verse out of Luke chapter 11. And I'm going to read it real quick. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass, do y'all see that? That as he was praying, y'all see that? And it came to pass, that's Luke chapter 11, verse 1. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And you can turn over to Matthew chapter 6. Can you believe that? Two of the most anointed, Holy Spirit-filled men of the Bible prayed. And prayed in such a way that the people that followed them said, teach us. Teach us how to do that. Could you imagine grown people, grown men, who were looking for position? Let's be honest. If there's 11 men about to do something, everybody would want to know where they stacked up. Who's number one? Who's number 11? Who's everybody in between? Amen? You know, I'm preaching. Y'all just let it sink in. Somebody would want to say, who's number one, right? Who's the top of the 11? Who's the bottom? And we'd sit there and we'd try to figure that out. And in the meanwhile, while we're learning and teaching and doing all the discipleship stuff, one guy looks over and says, I wish I was this guy. I want to be this guy. I'm glad there wasn't a name on it. Somebody help me right there. I'm glad there wasn't a name put on it. I believe that leaves it open as it can be anybody. Will you teach us to do that? Will you teach me? Will you teach me how to pray like that? Wouldn't that be awesome? You try to be strong. You're like, I know it all. How many, golly, don't raise your hand. How many men in here know it all? Amen. I know you do. We know it all. We'll act like we're cool. Man, every man in here, I'm being honest. We said every dinner table, every living room, every lounge chair, every front seat driver, everybody in here. One time, no, you didn't have a clue what was going on. But if somebody asked you, I'm good. All right. Man, some of you women right now had the greatest opportunity of your life to say amen right there. You have rode down the road with that joker knowing y'all were lost. And ask him, do you know where we're at? And he answered, I know exactly where we're at. Amen? Everything's going to be all right. In his mind, he was going, I missed a turn somewhere. But there's no way we're turning back now. Right? Golly, I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on. Listen, but that's who men are. And one of these guys got sick and tired of trying to do it their own way and said, there's power in that. The most anointed, the anointed one. Now, there's the Bible's like, the anointed one prayed. Prayed in such a way that he needed more answers from heaven than he did from earth. Don't you think we should want to tap into that? We should be saying, God, help us. We should be going to the throne of grace more than we are going to anybody else or anything else in prayer. Like right now, we got more. We look for answers in every. We have, I'll guarantee there's more Christians are Googling it than they are praying about it. What does that say? What does it say? Instead, it's what does he say? What does he say? I love that. I love that more than anything else in the world. They just looked at Jesus and said, hey, John taught his. You know, so it's not a weird thing. John was anointed. John was full of the Holy Spirit before it was even a thing. And one day he just said, you know what? Where my power comes from? My power comes from my weakness. My power comes from the place where I don't know what to do next. I wrote this morning. I was thinking I'm probably going to get everyone in 47 messages, Johnny. Just write them down. 47 of them. Listen to this. I was thinking this morning, if you know, the disciples, Jesus at one point fed 5,000 people, not counting women or children. 15, 20,000 people fed them off the hoof. Amen? Broke a little bit of bread and a little bit of fish and fed everybody. One of my favorite messages in the whole Bible, because guess what he did? He took somebody's lunch, broke it up, handed it to the apostles and disciples, and they handed it out to the people. Amen. It would have been better if Jesus would have handed it directly to the people. Think? But you know what he does? He does this weird thing. He circumvents a miracle, breaking something and giving it to the most unlikely people in the world to hand it to some unlikely people in the world. That's us, by the way. And at the end of that festival, at the end of that feast, at the end of that glorious time, there were a bunch of full people. I'm talking about bellies popped out full. You ever been Thanksgiving full? You know what I'm talking about, Thanksgiving full? That's when you... At Thanksgiving, what you do is you eat, take a break, and eat again. You lay in the living room and lay there like foundered, right? Listening to football. You might be wanting to watch it, but you can't hold your eyes open. You're in a coma. But then the first thing you do is you wake up and you go back in there and try to make something out of that thing you just ate. Amen? Well, praise God. Listen to this. These people were foundered. The disciples were worn out because to receive the blessing, they had to hand the blessing out. Christians should be worn out of handing out so much Jesus to people who need it that they should be blessed, but you should be tired. So the tiredest, most worn out, miracle handing out people, all of a sudden at the end of it, all the blessed, fat, happy people were leaving. Oh, I'm preaching better. And they were leaving, and he told the disciples, get in the boat. That way, ever experienced boater in the group, every experienced person that ever rode in a boat looked at the water and said, that ain't a good idea. The tax collectors, the doubting Thomases, all the rest of them were in the boat. Jesus said, go, let's go. Right? All the fishermen were like, this ain't the... Let's go with the people who went that way. Jesus said, get into the boat. You're going to the other side. That night, all heck broke loose. Let me tell you something as a Christian. All heck will break loose in your life. It's going to happen. Some of you sitting here right now, you go, I ain't never felt that. You will. Stick around. You will. And they got to a point, guess what? They were riding this boat. I could see the boat. Here's what their thoughts of the boat were. The boat was taking on water. Anybody in here taking on water as a Christian? God, I wish we... Oh, not one hand went up. Dog, man, golly, I love you guys. But sometimes in church, you'll lie. I'm serious. You'll ask a question in church, and well, we're blessed and highly flavored, brother. Yeah, you're flavored, all right. Have you ever felt like you're taking on water? Some of you in here got more water than you want to talk about. Amen? And you're worried about your boat capsizing. Anybody in here thinking about your boat's going to capsize on you? Goodness gracious. This thing could turn over at any moment. I don't even know if it's going to hold it together. Anybody in here like that don't even know if you can hold it together. How many of you are trying to hold it together? Some of you need to get a dose of Jesus, start trying to hold it together for yourself. The storm was raging, and they went to bailing. You ever went to bailing? Goodness gracious. You're bailing. What are you doing when you're bailing? You are using your own strength to do something only God can do. Anybody in here in that capacity? Me again. Doing. And then they got wore out. Last watch, wore out, sick and tired, can't do it, can't fix it. And all of a sudden, guess who comes walking on the water? And they couldn't help themselves but to look out for him because they was dog tired. They were looking out into the dark sea of despair. Why did Jesus, God, I wish y'all'd help me preach this morning. Why in the world did Jesus send us out here? Aren't we the good ones? Aren't we the good ones? We don't deserve this. That's what we say. God knows He rated you when He made you. He rated you. He knows what you can handle. You just don't know it. Jesus walks out into the water. They didn't even know who He was at first. I wish I had. I'm not even supposed to be preaching right here, Charlie. If y'all didn't know by now, we are completely off the rails. But I love it. They didn't recognize Jesus at first. Matter of fact, they thought He was an evil spirit at first. If you get in the deep parts of the storms of life sometimes and it's raging against you and everything's coming against you, you won't even recognize Jesus when He shows up. You'll think, God, I wish somebody would amen me right here. You'll think it's evil when it ain't. I'll just let that simmer. You'll think it's evil when it ain't, when it isn't. That's English, proper English. You'll think it's evil when it isn't. You'll think He's killing you when He's making you stronger. You'll think you were going under the whole time, but God was just making you better. Because every storm you've ever been in was not the storm. The storm was not the situation. You in it was the situation. He was giving you tests and trials to change you from who you were when you went into the storm to somebody different after you come out the other side. Because you need to go through some stuff to come out the other side where you can minister to people properly who are going to go through those same things without Jesus. And you'll be able to sit down next to them in the places of life and say, you can make it through this if you accept Christ. And they'll say, how do you know? You say, because I went through it with Jesus. I didn't want to. I didn't ask for it. I prayed against it. But He took me through it. I love it. The last watch there, I could just see Him. It ain't spiritual. Ed, it's not spiritual. I'd like it to be. Charlie, I'd like it to be spiritual. I'd love it. I'd love it right there to be spiritual. No, you're just looking out at the waves going, when's it going to happen? When am I going to go under? Holy mom, you're not looking for Jesus. You just ain't got nowhere else to look. Because if you look back in the boat, you're just going to get mad. Because everybody in the boat's who you'd be mad at. You didn't row enough. Amen? Judas, I've never liked you. There's just something about you I don't like. Amen? And Doubt and Thomas, they named you correctly. Amen? Right? A lot of times we react carnally to spiritual warfare. We attack people when the Spirit is trying to change us and make us better. We lash out at people instead of reach for God. I guarantee about every one of them had their back to each other. Just looking out the boat. Beautiful scene. Looking out. And all of a sudden, one of them seen him. I don't know who it was. Man, it looks like an evil spirit. And then Jesus says some of the coolest stuff when he's in storms and when we're in trouble. He says some of the coolest stuff. It's like, I would have passed on by. What in the world? Like you just go walking on the sea in the storm and you know we're here, but it seems like you would have just went on by. I wonder if he had went on by and if they would have had more faith, then guess what? They would have been able to meet him on the other side. But you know what? They stopped him. Ah, I'll stop right there. Can I give y'all a sidebar note to preach right here? I'm totally off everything I prepared, so let's just go with it, right? 98%, that's a high percent, 98% of your Christian walk will be done in private places with just you and God and maybe a handful of people. It's never going to be corporate. The stuff that makes you a great believer and follower in Jesus Christ will hardly or rarely ever be done in this building. This place right here is a place where people get to see the end result. The end result. They'll look at you here and they'll go, man, I want to be him or I want to be her. But they don't know what it's like to walk 1 week in those shoes outside this building. Amen? Everybody wanted to be Peter on the day of Pentecost. Everybody would have loved to have been Peter when he's walking down the streets. Amen? Everybody would have loved to have been Paul. I've heard preachers say some of the dumbest stuff ever. I wish I had a backbone like Paul, like a saw log. Well, when you get saved and get born again and start loving God more than you love your stuff, and everybody hates you because you are now proclaiming the thing that everybody else was against, and they take it out to kill you and destroy you, and you get stoned, and you get imprisoned, and you get shipwrecked, and you get left for naught, and you let people just walk out of your life at the drop of a hat, praise God, then you'll be, oh, then that's when you want to be Paul. Praise God, most preachers and most teachers can't handle if one person is upset with them. So-and-so don't like you. Oh, gosh. What am I going to do? Praise God. Let me pop up my tent and go home. Praise God. If you serve God right, you'll make a lot of people mad. And matter of fact, you'll make a lot of religious people mad. And that's our job. You're going to do most of your stuff that God's in all by yourself. When you pick friends all by yourself, they'll show you who they are. I shouldn't preach right here. Some of y'all gonna check out on me right here. Somebody will show you who they are. Some of y'all got labels over to people. That's my friend, and they're the most detrimental person in your life. And then you ask somebody, well, who do you hate right now? And that person right there is your number one A person that's keeping you afloat in your life. The one who's praying for you. The person that cares about you, that loves you, calls you on your junk. That person that approves everything you do when it's all jacked up and wrong. They don't love you. They hate you. They just love the company and their misery. Relationships. Boy, there's another one. We the church has failed in the last 10 years on relationships. We've just given up on marriage and relationships and how to treat one another. We have just given up completely. And we're just standing on the sideline now. We're just preaching about the big stuff that's wrong. We won't talk about cussing or drinking or sleeping with somebody that's not your wife. We just let that pass on. Praise God, we'll let people in our lives do things to us that the Bible says do not do. And we do it. And we come in here and we won't. God to bless a mess. Golly, bum, Kevin, you're going to get in trouble. Amen. And then we get mad because the church knows what we did out there. And when they come in here, we're like, man, everybody's judging me. Ain't nobody judging you. We just seen what you did. Praise God, repent, turn to Jesus. We'll be your biggest supporters. We'll love you to death. Amen. We'll be the first one there with the altar. We are saying, I've been there and done that. Church don't preach on any of that anymore. We just let it all ride like it's all cool and everything. And then we're wondering why the church is falling apart. We wonder why nobody wants what we got. Because we got no standards. We got no standards. God's got a standard. Praise God. He's got a standard. Most of the stuff you'll do as a Christian will be done all by yourself. Amen. You and God will have to make decisions. Who's in your life? What relationships? What you will do and what you won't do. And you'll have to make those decisions. And praise God, if you make them right, that means fully going through Jesus Christ for every answer. Praise God, at the end of that, people will see your life and they'll go, man, that's a pretty good walk for Jesus. Amen. They'll say, I want some of that. And you know what you're going to tell them?
It's just Jesus. But guess what? In the fourth watch, they finally were looking out. I wish we would. If they would have done this at the very beginning, if they would have done this in the very beginning, they would have been somebody. If they would have been, man, the storm's coming, we're in trouble. Where's Jesus? Jesus come quickly. Jesus come help me, right? But they waited till the very end. Some of y'all are at the very end of your rope. You're at the very end of yourself. Like some of you in here this morning, you're about ready to give up, give in. Hey, some people in here, you know what? People, y'all think I'm crazy and alone sometimes. But listen, I've just done some research and study. Suicide is up higher than it's ever been. Overdose and drug, higher than it's ever been. And amongst young people, higher than it's ever been. You know why? Because the enemy wants to lie to you. He has come to steal, kill, and destroy. He will tell you the biggest lie in your life. He'll say, you know what? It would be better for you to end your life and get out of this pain, get out of this discomfort, get out of this deal. He said, it'd be easier. But you know what? That's a lie. Because you know what? When you die, you don't go to a place where all the pain's over and ended. It just gets started. Amen? Jesus has come, amen, to give you life and to give you life more abundantly. What you don't know is the answer is in front of you, not in some kind of way that you can end it. It's Jesus. Amen? That fourth watch, they're all looking, and Jesus, he comes walking to them. Amen? He says, Josh, he says the craziest stuff. He does. You know what I'm talking about. The storm's still rocking. It's still going on. Even though Jesus is there, Jesus has showed up. Still, he goes, he says this, be of good cheer. There's still people throwing up. There's still people seasick. They still people cursing in the boat. Huh? They still one in there still don't believe. Could you imagine that guy went through all this stuff and still don't believe in Jesus? Some of y'all sitting there going, man, I'll believe him when he does this. You ain't going to believe him until you just believe him by faith. He going to be of good cheer in his eye. His eye. I've showed up. Could you calm this storm? Could you stop everything real quick? No, I still got a little bit of work to do. Peter, I don't know why. I don't know how. But somewhere in the midst, can I come out there? Can I come out there where you're at? Yeah, if you want to. One of my favorite places in the Bible. Could you see them? Do you see all of them in there? All 11 of them looking at Peter. Now the shift. I'm going to go out there with Jesus. You can't do that. Tom, you know he. Dummy. Don't do it. Jesus, like, I don't know. John's like, go ahead, old man. See what happens. Some of y'all know the Bible. You know what I'm talking about. Go ahead, old man. Can't wait to see you. They called you the rock. You're going to sink like one. But I like when he slides. He's got to slide them feet out over that rail sometime. Listen, I don't know who I'm preaching to right now, but sometime in this thing, you've got to slide your feet out over the rail, and you've got to walk with Jesus and leave even all the spiritual people behind. The people that you counted as spiritual giants, they're not the giants. It's Jesus who is the giant. Some of y'all have been walking into the shadows of somebody else's faith your whole life, and it ain't even yours. Peter says, I don't want to have all your stuff. I want to have his stuff. Slides them feet out over the rails. Stands up on the thing that he's been praying against all night long. The thing he's been fighting against all night long. There's some things you've been praying about for months and months and months. And God wants to let you stand on that instead of sink in that. Instead of die in that. I first thought, I'm standing on the thing that I was most afraid of. The thing that we're most afraid of is death. Once you finally figure out who Jesus is, you stand on the thing that's never going to destroy you. Woo! He's keeping his eyes on Jesus and he's walking to him. And I wonder if he got into the chatter in the boat. I wonder how far he'll make it. Because listen, Charlie, when you start walking for Jesus, that's what everybody who's not walking for Jesus says. I wonder how far they'll make it. It's not about how far we're going to make it. It's about who we're trying to make it to and for. Amen? I'm not trying to make some high level. I'm trying to walk where Jesus wants me to walk. That's what I'm looking for. And all of a sudden, he got his eyes off of Jesus. We know this story, right? He got his eyes off of Jesus, and what did he start looking at? I believe in 2021, this is us. We've ever told everybody we're looking to Jesus, but right now we're looking at another thing, that's the storm, and we talk about the storm more when we talk about Jesus, and we are sinking. We are sinking. We are sinking. The church is sinking because we got this on our mouth and this on our eyes and this on our ears, and Jesus is standing there going, when did I become irrelevant? When did I become irrelevant to you? When did I stop being the answer? And all of a sudden, as he started sinking, he done the best thing. And he sounds weak. He says this, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Let's stop just for a second. Let's not talk about the walking on the water as the success. But the success in this is knowing when to cry out to Jesus and get the help that you need. Some of y'all have sank, yeah. But guess what? Have you done the next thing? Because you know what the devil will do? You know what he'll tell you when you fail, when you sink, when you were doing, golly, somebody help me. Rebecca, when you were walking real good and doing real good and everybody was like, man. But all of a sudden, when you start sinking, the devil will get on your shoulder and say, you better not reach out to Jesus now. You failed. Quit. Give up. He done the smartest thing. I can't even believe he did it. I know I took my eyes off of you, and everything in me is sinking. Charlie, everything in me says, I deserve to sink. Lamar, I deserve to sink. I messed up. Let me sink. Jesus don't want you to sink. Will you help me out? You know what it says? It says he reaches down and pulls him straight back up and sets him straight up on the water, then puts him in the boat, and then the storm is over, and then they're on the other side. Some of y'all want help so bad, and you need help so bad. Now, on the outside, you don't. You look good on the outside. Some of y'all look good on the outside. But on the inside, y'all are messed up. Wouldn't it be good if y'all just come in here and say, God, just fall on these altars and say, God, I'm sinking. I've made bad choices and bad decisions. My faith is just low. My boat's full of water again. I don't think I can hold it together. I'm tired of bailing. It seems like the last watch of my life. Wouldn't it be good if some of y'all would just look out and go, come help me. Jesus, come on, Jody, come on. Jody's going to sing if y'all would. Seek the Lord at this time in your life. Come, everybody stand. Everybody stand. If God spoke to your heart and life, step out and step up to the altar and pray. Seek the Lord.